Good morning to those present here today and those listening in later from home. I'm glad you've been able to join us. My name's Diane Bastable and I will be leading today's service. Others involved this morning are Lynn, who will be reading our Bible passage, and we'll have Sam, Rosemary, Linda and Young Lan on the music team today. Now, we here at Abbotsford Anglican are a group of local people of all ages and backgrounds who have come to find meaning and purpose for living life God's way and according to his word. We invite you to know God with us. Let me open in prayer. Almighty God, settle our hearts and still our minds. Ready us now to hear you speak through your word and let us honour you with our praise. Amen. Our first song today is What Love My God. Please stand and join.
Pouring out on us.
Please be seated. Trevor, would you like to share just a brief focus?
That's good. Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all. This morning, we conclude our little sermon series through the book of Ephesians, and we're thinking about faithfulness in ministry. And it's quite unique and very special. And I think it's Paul's intent that how he ends his letter, that we are involved in sharing in ministry. See ourselves from God's perspective, as the sermon series has been about, seeing ourselves from God's perspective. Sometimes we might think our ministry is insignificant in the greater scheme of things of God, but God sees and God rewards faithfulness.
Thank you. Okay, we're just going to have a prayer before we send the kids and the teachers out for Kids Church. Loving Father, we ask that you will guide our kids' church leaders as they share your word with the children and young people you have brought here today. Give the children ears to hear and hearts to understand your teaching, so that they too may grow in becoming faithful servants in the Lord. Amen. Okay, kids, out you go. And if you would like to greet someone you haven't said hello to yet this morning, feel free. Wonderful. Okay, we'll open with a prayer praising God. Together, gracious God, we humbly thank you for all your gifts so freely given to us, for life and health and safety, for power to work, leisure to rest, and for all that is beautiful in creation and human life. But above all, we praise you for our Saviour, Jesus Christ, for his death and resurrection, for the gift of your Spirit, and for the hope of sharing in your glory. Fill our hearts with all joy and peace in believing, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Open our hearts to receive your word, that we may know you better and be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, Lynn's going to come and share today's reading with us. If you want to open your Bibles, the page number's up on the screen.
Good morning, everyone. I'm reading from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 21 to 24. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. Peace to the brothers and sisters, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. The second reading is from Proverbs 3, verses 1 to 6, found on page 630. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favour and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean on not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Lynn. Please leave your Bibles open there or inside your bulletin. You'll find the Bible reading there from Ephesians chapter 6, 21 to 24. Let me pray. Yes, indeed, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, the Bible. And we thank you for your Spirit who guides us as we read your word to know you better and how it is to serve you. Loving Heavenly Father, help me to teach your word correctly, and may we experience your Spirit guiding us once again into truth and applying it to our lives, that we may be encouraged. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage you. Well, we conclude Ephesians by reflecting upon the bearer of the letter and the charge that Paul gave to him. Tychicus is that brother, a dear brother to Paul and faithful servant in the Lord, sent to the churches for the very purpose, carrying the letters, that the church may know of Paul's ministry and ultimately of the progress of the gospel and of Paul's personal progress as well, so that he may encourage them with these words. If this is a circular letter, which most likely it is to the churches in Asia or modern-day Turkey today, then it would have been delivered not only to the church in Ephesus, but also to Smyrna, to Pergamum, to Sardia, Thyatira, Philadelphia and Laodicea. And do those churches ring a bell at all? Yeah, they're the seven churches that we read of in Revelation. Philadelphia and Laodicea as well, and they most probably could have gone to Colossae, which they would have, and Hierapolis, as we read of in Colossians chapter 4, and perhaps more churches around the place. But what is noteworthy, I'd like to think, is that Paul chooses to end this letter, note widely spread, that many Christians would actually get to read this little portion of it, and that Paul actually is writing this with the intention, he mentions a fellow believer, a brother in Christ. I believe it was Paul's, the apostle's intent that Tychicus and the Christians who would read Paul's letter may bring to mind as this letter is concluded and take to heart that what they may consider the little or the big that they do in sharing in ministry, not much, they may think, in the greater scheme of things that God is planning, from God's perspective, our faithfulness in ministry does not go unnoticed by God, and we ought to take heart and with that recognize all who share in it with us. Well, unlike the senior minister of a church, our ministry staff usually don't get the same recognition as we do. What do I mean? Well, for example, when we think of a church or a diocese, our thoughts usually drift to how good the minister is or not, all right? And identifying with that church, with the senior minister. Not usually, it's staff. For example, Ashfield Anglican, with Five Dock, Haberfield, the Drummoyne surrounding us, they think of Andrew Cattai, the minister out there. Tychicus is one of those brothers we read of in the Bible who probably doesn't receive the recognition that ought to be due them. True, Tychicus is only mentioned five times in the New Testament, but the ministry he provided was noteworthy. We first meet Tychicus in Acts chapter 20 during Paul's third ministry journey. Tychicus is mentioned as one of seven of Paul's companions on the way from Corinth to Jerusalem, delivering a gift, most likely of money, to the poor of the church in Jerusalem, a trusted companion. In Acts 20, we also learn that Tychicus was a native of Asia or of modern-day Turkey, possibly in Ephesus itself. We're not told, but Tychicus most likely heard the gospel and put his faith in the person and work of our Lord Jesus for his salvation, as Christians do, as we have done, during Paul's ministry in Ephesus around about 52 to 55 AD. But it's in these final words of Paul in this letter of his to the church at Ephesus we read what is of lasting importance. Paul describes Tychicus as a dear brother and a faithful servant of the Lord's. And again in Colossians chapter 4, verse 7, he speaks of Tychicus as a faithful minister and fellow servant who was even with him during his first Roman imprisonment. In both these letters, Ephesians and Colossians, we read Paul trusted Tychicus. He trusted Tychicus to deliver his letters to the Ephesians and Colossians and to bring the good news of the apostle to those congregations. We read in Colossians 4 and Ephesians 6 these words, "Tychicus, he'll tell you all the news about me. I'm sending him to you with the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts." Encouragement is also mentioned as part of Tychicus' ministry. And encouragement is not merely just the pat on the back, but as the word mentions, encourage, undergirding the believer with courage to keep on being faithful themselves. In travelling to Colossae, Tychicus accompanied Onesimus. Do you remember Onesimus? What do we know about him? All right. He was the former slave who was returned to Philemon. No doubt on that little journey, they shared of the goodness of God together, Tychicus and Onesimus, his grace and his mercy, his forgiveness, and Philemon's in receiving Onesimus back home. As a faithful servant of the Lord, Paul also trusted Tychicus with sharing with him in leadership. In Paul's letter to Titus, Paul wrote that his intent was to send Tychicus, possibly to Crete, in order to give Titus a chance to visit Paul, to relieve Titus so that he could come and visit Paul and encourage him. He trusted Tychicus with sharing in ministry leadership. Later, when Tychicus was with Paul in Rome during the apostle's second Roman imprisonment, in Paul's second letter to Timothy, we read Paul sent him to Ephesus now in order to free up Timothy so that he could come and visit Paul. Tychicus was trusted with sharing in ministry with Paul. In both Crete and Ephesus, then, Tychicus was an interim pastor of some sorts, filling in for Titus and for Timothy. There is also an unnamed believer alluded to in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 22, that described a brother who has often proved to us in many ways that he is zealous, and now even more so because of his great confidence in you. I wonder, as with other commentators, if that was a reference to Tychicus. The description seems to fit well for him. We may not know much about Tychicus. As I said earlier on, he's only mentioned five times in the New Testament. But what we do know is impressive and praiseworthy. Tychicus was a trusted messenger, a faithful preacher, a loyal friend. Paul placed great confidence in him, sending him to accomplish important works, ministering in variety of varying circumstances and situations, bringing encouragement to those he served. Tychicus surely modelled the quality that all leaders within the church are to possess. We read in Titus 1 verse 9, "Hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that you may encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it." We conclude Ephesians with reflecting upon the bearer of the letter and the charge that was given to him. Tychicus, a dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, sent to the church for the very purpose that the church may know of Paul's ministry, of the gospel, and of his personal progress, so that Christians may be encouraged by him. It is noteworthy, though, that Paul chooses to end this letter with the mention of this fellow believer, a brother in Christ. And the reason, I believe, it was for the purpose of encouraging Tychicus and us and all of us involved in sharing a ministry of some sort, be it small, perceived in our eyes, or great in the perceived in the eyes of others. I believe it's there right at the end, and he gets a mention that he and we may bring to mind and take heart, that we may consider that though we may consider those, that little bit that we do in sharing a ministry may not seem much, but from God's perspective, that faithfulness to God and his people, God sees, God knows, and it doesn't go unrewarded by him. We ought to recognize that and share in it with that thankfulness to God as servants of the gospel and faithful servants in the Lord. And so we bring this letter to a close. It began with Paul reminding the Christians to see themselves from God's perspective, not so much from ours. We are greatly blessed as God's people in Christ. God has chosen us to be his. We have not saved ourselves. God has done it for us in Christ. And we're going to be remembering all of this now as we come in close into Christ, into Christmas. He then reminds us that being children now of God, saved by the gospel, saved by Christ, we're to live accordingly as his people. And to know that God sees, God watches, God sees the faithfulness and will reward. We are servants of the gospel, faithful servants in the Lord. May the Lord continue to grant us grace to be so. Amen. Let me pray. Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father, you are rich in grace and provide all peace. May your church in all the world and throughout all time know the abundance of your mercy and fullness of your peace. That peace of knowing that we are right with you, dear God. Especially as we approach this time of the year we call Christmas. Lord Jesus, please send to your people gracious travelling servants, faithful Christians like Tychicus. Continue to do so, Heavenly Father, as you have done in the past and in the present of our church. May they encourage us in the Lord with good news, a genuine interest in our well-being and of gospel progress. And likewise, may we be the same to them, servants with us of the gospel. Amen. Let's say this psalm together. Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength, Seek his face always. Amen.
Right, we're going to sing a song that's quite appropriate at this point, Live for the Kingdom. Please stand and join. Songs this morning. Although we are the people of God, Scripture reminds us that we still sin. We need to confess our failures, knowing that the Lord Jesus died for us and intercedes for us with the Father. Let us draw near to God, who freely forgives through his infinite goodness and mercy, and pray to him with sincerity and confidence together. Heavenly Father, we praise you for adopting us as your children and making us heirs of eternal life. In your mercy, you have washed us from our sins and made us clean in your sight. Yet we still fail to love you and serve you as we should. Forgive us our sins and renew us by your grace, that we may continue to grow as members of Christ, in whom alone is our salvation. Amen. God is slow to anger and full of compassion. He forgives all who humbly repent and turn to his Son, Jesus Christ, in whom there is no condemnation. Amen. Join with me and we'll say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And Fiona's going to come now and share in a more prayer.
This morning I'll be leading us in four different prayers. One asking for a life of prayer, one about the church, one for those who find Christmas hard, and finally a prayer that God would be everything to us. Please join me as we pray. O our Father, with our whole heart we praise you for this wondrous life of never ceasing prayer, never ceasing fellowship, never ceasing answers, and never ceasing experience of oneness with Him who always lives to pray. O our God, keep us always dwelling and walking in the presence of your glory, so that prayer may be the spontaneous expression of our life with you. Blessed Saviour, with our whole heart, we praise you that you came from heaven to share with us in our needs and cries, so that we might share with you in your all-prevailing intercession. And we thank you that you have taken us into the school of prayer to teach the blessedness and the power of a life that is all prayer. And most of all, you have taken us up into the fellowship of your life of intercession, so that through us as well, your blessings may be dispensed to those around us. Holy Spirit, with deep reverence, we thank you for your work in us. It is through you that we are lifted up into a share in the fellowship between the Son and the Father, and therefore enter into the fellowship of the life and love of the Holy Trinity. Spirit of God, perfect your work in us and bring us into perfect union with Christ, our intercessor. Let your unceasing indwelling make our lives one of unceasing intercession. And let likewise our life become one that is unceasingly to the glory of the Father and to the blessing of those around us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. A prayer for the church. We praise you, Father, for the indescribable gift of Jesus. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. May all churches preach this truth joyfully, clearly and winsomely in this Christmas season. We are mindful today of parishes going through changes of leadership. Us with Karen leaving. Barara with the recent arrival of Reverend Luke Woodhouse. Reverend Greg Ball to Cronulla. Reverend Simon Twist to Kingswood. Reverend Peter Greenwood to Coogee. Reverend Lisa Boyd to the Children's Hospital at Westmead, and Elizabeth Jansen to Northern Beaches Chaplaincy. May each of these servants love your people deeply, teach your word faithfully, and grow in wonder of Jesus personally. Father, we ask that you would provide the right leaders for the vacant parishes of Eagle Vale, Freshwater, Guildford, Lavender Bay, Leppington, Lithgow, Liverpool South, Mona Vale, Northbridge, Peakhurst, Mortdale, Regent's Park, Robertson, Rusey Hill, Rosemeadow, St James, King Street, South Hurstville, Wentworth Falls, and West Wollongong. Finally, we give great thanks for faithful ministers whom you've recently called home. Archdeacon Emeritus, the Venerable Narelle Jarrett, the Venerable Brian Richardson, Reverend Dennis Callow, and Reverend Brian Higginbotham. As they join the cloud of witnesses, may they delight in your presence and perfect freedom. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear God, we pray for those who find Christmas hard, with so many songs about joy and all being calm and bright. There can be great pain for many whose lives are devoid of joy and peace. For the millions of refugees, may they take comfort that Jesus himself was a refugee, that you know every difficult detail of their life. May they find hope, real hope, a living hope found only in Jesus by those who love him. For many separated from their families, may they search for and find a welcoming church family and the permanent belonging that our Heavenly Father offers free to all who come to Jesus and worship him. For those in prison, rightfully or wrongly, may they not be swallowed up with self-pity or hatred. Please, Father, show to them the perfect freedom that is gained by all who follow your teachings and follow our Saviour. For those grieving the loss of their life partner or a child, we ask that they'd grieve, but not as those without hope. May they lean into you, the God of all comfort. For those who find Christmas hard for reasons we haven't already thought of, please also have mercy on them and meet them at their deepest need. Finally, for those who don't find Christmas hard, may we be mindful of those who do and seek to share with them your joy, hope, and love. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear God, thank you that your glorious majesty surrounds us. The blessed Trinity protects us, and the eternal Godhead preserves us. Your unlimited mercy supports us. Your loving kindness encompasses us, and your favour makes us to rejoice. May the eternal truth of God be our delight, the saving knowledge of Christ strengthen us, and the all-prevailing grace of God be sufficient for us. May the grace of God the Father lead us, the wisdom of God the Son be our consolation, and the power of the Holy Spirit enlighten us. Lord, our Creator, stand by us. Our Redeemer, save us. And my Comforter, dwell with us. Amen.
Let us pray together that God will fill us with joy at the coming of Christ. Lord God, May we, your people, who look forward to the birthday of Christ, experience the joy of salvation and celebrate the feast with love and thanksgiving. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Right. Now, the kindergarten is going to be the Christmas story this Wednesday and Thursday, 9:30 to 10. So, yeah. Yep. So, if you'd like to be mindful of that on Wednesday and Thursday morning and pray that the children will receive the story well and get excited by it. And on Sunday the 18th of December, which is next week, we have our usual 9:30 start, and we have carols and the Christmas story, followed by Christmas luncheon, to which you're all invited. Now, that will be held upstairs in the hall, so when church is over, we'll clear the space, head upstairs, take your time, and Rosemary and Trevor have kindly put that on for us, so I hope to see you there. Sorry? Oh, if your name's on the list, that's right. Put your name on the list if it's not already there. I think most people got in there first thing last week, so make sure you get yours on there. And on Christmas Day, being Sunday for the first time in a few, reminder that we have our service starting at 9 a.m. So you'll have to be up early, which if you've got young children, that's easy. Otherwise, hard lines. We've got to get up early so that we can be here for 9. But that means you're free then to celebrate Christmas with your family a little bit more easily, especially around lunches. How many people here actually are cooking lunch for Sunday, Christmas Day? Yeah, there are a few. Yeah. So you'll need the time. I'm eating. Yes. Yeah. You might need to prepare yourself for that. Yeah. True. So make sure you come at 9 a.m. on Christmas morning. Thank you. And if you are needing prayer after the service today, we'll have Fiona and Dick at the front on these lovely chairs, ready to help you out there and share in that service for you. Okay. I think we've got one more thing. I'll come to that one.
Thank you for everyone who's brought in gifts of toys and tucker for our appeal. The kindergarten has done the same as well, and it's just amazing to see the amount of boxes that are up there. So thank you for everyone who's given towards that. That's getting collected during tomorrow, in fact. So that'll all be going off to families in need. Just as a reminder too, we also have asked for 4 hampers. We did ask for 5, but we got 4, and they're in the kitchen area of the hall, the kitchen area here in the foyer. If you know of a family or a couple, or maybe an individual that may have, who might at this time need some help out at Christmas and appreciate a hamper, please come and tell me. And there's 4 there available. And if we need more, don't worry, we can access more from there. Well, we come to that time in our service now where we say farewell to Karen and to David. So I'm going to ask Karen to drag in all the kids and Vitti and everyone to come on up. Hey, Paul. And come on down. Come on in. Well, whilst they're coming on in, we're going to have a very brief little decommissioning service. I'll talk more about that in a minute. Afterwards, there'll be some giving of a few little gifts to Karen and by the wardens. And then Diane will continue the service and we'll sing our final song. And then after the song, come up the front here so we can take a photograph that we can put in frame for Karen and David and the family in the future to remember us. Although I'm sure they'll be coming and visiting on occasions to see us. And then after we've sung our final song, if you have to dash, that's understandable, but we'll go back inside and there'll be a few more into the foyer and there'll be a few more speeches and thanks and prayer and then you're entitled to stay, and we're all can stay for some lovely morning tea that's here, that's been put on by folk from the church that's here. Kids, come on up the front. Come on up the front. Happy, come way up the front. Dads, mums, bring them all up the front. And come and sit in the front pew.
Awesome.
Great. Awesome. Great to see you all. Terrific. Come on, don't be shy. You can come down too, Paul. Wonderful. David, I'm wondering if you can come up. And Emily, would you like to come up as front as well too? Come up. It's okay. I won't. Karen, if you could come up as well too. I'll get the three of you, David and Karen, you can stand around here, and I'll stand here. I'll actually use this microphone here. Okay. Well, Karen, 7 years ago, the Reverend Paul O'Brien invited you to join the congregation of Abbotsford Anglican Church, St Andrews, and to share in the ministry team here amongst us there. There was a need to help with encouraging women and reaching and connecting with families in the community. A Mother's Union grant was sought and gratefully received. You became our Women's and Family Minister, getting alongside the women, leading women's Bible studies, taking them to women's conferences, organising women's dinners, parenting courses and evangelistic events, and wonderfully coordinating our two playgroups. Your expectation was to stay just for 2 years, for the duration of the grant. To our joy and yours, the grant was extended, and then the church here was in a position to continue to fund your ministry. You brought with you a desire for women and families to know God and to grow in their knowledge and love of Him in the life of the church. You have done this with joy. You have done this with gentleness. You have done this with wisdom. And you've done this with faithfulness. We thank God for you, and we thank you and for our Lord's ministry through you. With Karen also came a package, and that was David and their daughters, especially the ministry of Emily and Kids Church. David, you have brought a multitude of humble leadership gifts to this church, to which we are very, very thankful. In serving, in the service leading of a Sunday, in praying for us, in helping with IT, which has been wonderful, Bible study leadership, and a parish council chairing it. Emily, you too, with your enthusiasm and love for Jesus and teaching the children here, with alongside your mother Karen in Kids Church and the other leaders. And we thank you too. Today, Karen, after much thought and prayer, you step out of this formal ministry role. You plan to focus on studies for the next little while. We know this has been a difficult decision for both David and yourself, as it is obvious you have thoroughly enjoyed living, worshipping, and sharing Christ with everyone. As you had a commissioning service at the start of your ministry with us, it's appropriate at the close of that formal ministry, we have a decommissioning service. A moment to recognise your faithful ministry, thank God for you, and release you to focus and serve on new ministry opportunities that God has in store for you. So I ask you, Karen, will you allow us to do this?
I'm happy for that to occur.
Good. Congregation, you'll see the words written in blue, and there'll be a few more coming up. Let's say this together to Karen. Karen, we give thanks to God for your faithful ministry amongst us at St Andrew's Anglican Church, Abbotsford, as our women's and family worker. Karen?
I give thanks to God for the opportunity to serve God and the church as your women's and family worker these past 7 years. I have thoroughly enjoyed living, worshipping, and sharing Christ with you.
Congregation,
Karen. We recognise your faithful ministry with thankfulness to God and to you. We release you to focus and serve in new ministry opportunities that God has in store for you.
Thank you, and thanks be to God.
Congregation, would you please stand? Together. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. In the name of Christ. Please be seated. There'll be time to say thanks, but Diane's coming over. Diane, in your hand there.
No,
come in here.
It's all
come
part
in.
Of my rehab.
Well, I'll move the mic a bit further. Well, I don't know.
Just a small token of appreciation from the congregation here, and on behalf of the wardens and the congregation itself, present these to you. And a gift for both of you. And there's a card, and if you've missed out on signing it, please make sure you get access to that, sign it today so that Karen can see your names on there as well.
As I said, a bit later on, there'll be an opportunity at the end of the service to come up the front and we'll have a big photograph, and there'll be an opportunity to move out quickly, and then we'll say more outside and be able for you to share your thoughts and thanks to God and to Karen afterwards. Thanks, David. Thanks, Karen.
Okay, getting back into mode. I'll just remind you of our experience today and a summing up of what we've been learning about Christ and his provision for us. The sentence of scripture for today is, "Let love and faithfulness never leave you." And God makes sure that we have supports around us so that it doesn't. We're going to now stand and share in the Creed. Do you believe in God the Father?
We believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in God the Son?
We believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Remain standing as we go to our next song, Servants of the Gospel. Thank you. Take us and use us to love and serve you and all people in the power of your Spirit and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now we're going to have you all come up to the front, please, so we can have a lovely photograph with everyone in it.